had a good service this morning and learned a lot. I learned a lot. I was telling Rob, and of course Greg and Debbie saw. Just tell you a little quick funny story what happened when I walked over there this morning. I was actually looking for Rob, and Greg and Debbie was kind of showing the missionaries around this morning. And so when they walked out, they introduced me and said, he'll probably be introducing you to the congregation. And I can't remember if it was Greg or Debbie said, and he's a pig farmer. And that lady, I thought she was going to hug my neck. I have never had that reception before. She's like, oh, you got to come down and see us. We want you to guys. So anyway, I guess I don't know how or why or what, but I guess they have trouble raising them down there, so they want me to come down. So, Pam and I may take off. And yeah, Rob said I had to go north to get there. But anyway. All right, we'll open it up for testimonies. Anybody have a testimony? Pam will be singing here shortly, and Trent, Lord willing, will be preaching. So, anybody have a testimony? Something you'd like to share? All right, going to be quiet.
Let me, I've been compelled to do this.
Sure.
And it's just kind of like a praise before the Lord. My daughter had an operation here 3 days ago. They had to go in. She's been in extreme pain for 7 months. And so they had to go in 3 days ago, and they removed her gallbladder. They removed her appendix, and she had cysts on one of the ovaries and another cyst somewhere else, and
amen. Bless you, Virgil. Amen. Anybody else? All right. Let's go ahead and take prayer requests, spoken requests, and then we'll go to prayer and Pam will sing. Anybody have a spoken request? Okay.
Take a minute to remember Chuck Hill. We have Zach with us today. And he's out of the hospital.
Okay. There was one. Sure. Okay. Okay.
October the 8th.
Right. Revival starts. Do what? Okay. Okay. Let's continue to pray for Phyllis Koontz and lift up her two sisters as well. Right. Right. Okay. Thank you. as you'd like to signify by an upraised hand. The Lord knows what those are as well. If you'd like to come up front and pray, feel free to do so. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray for Trent as well. He'll be preaching this evening.
want you all to listen closely to the words of this song, not the way I sing it, but with everything that's going on in our communities, our state, our country, our world, it's a scary place. And it's getting a little more scary, it seems like, each and every day. But one thing that the gentleman said this morning that really stuck with me, he talked about praying until there was a puddle of tears and snot on the floor. That's what we need to do. We need to do that for each and every one of us here. And we need to have the faith that God is going to hear those prayers. And that he's going to answer them. And I think a lot of times, I know I'm guilty of it. And I'm speaking for myself. A lot of times I think we pray, and then we just kind of go on. And sometimes we don't even think about it that much anymore. But I think it's time that we really get serious with God.
With him,
Anybody else have a testimony? All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? All right. Al, if you would, if you don't mind, would you walk up here and put your hand on Trent and pray for the message as he comes to bring the message this evening.
Good evening. It was a good service this morning. I enjoyed seeing all that. I enjoyed the message that he gave. Was it Critchfield was his last name, right? That was a wonderful sermon. His testimony is very powerful. And I'm sure that touched a lot of lives this morning just by simply him giving his testimony of what God's done for him. Anybody else have a testimony this evening that they want to give? All right, so if you would turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And I'll say this, I spent most of the afternoon trying to prepare a message. I was preaching last night at Austin Harper's Church, and I was trying to decide, maybe God wanted me to use that message, and that would have been the easiest route to use that tonight, but I just didn't feel that that's what he wanted me to use tonight, so I was trying to find something else, and so hopefully this is what's needed tonight. I will say this, though, it was a good service to be in last night. I will say this, they had ice cream sundaes afterwards, so if we don't have that here tonight, I'm thinking about switching churches. No, I'm just kidding. And my family had the ice cream too, so they might switch with me, I don't know. So 1 Samuel chapter 15. And you can stand with me if you want to. We'll be reading about 20 verses here, so hopefully you guys can stand up that long. Start out in verse 1. It says, Samuel also said unto Saul, And we'll be skipping through certain parts of this so that way I'm not keeping you standing. The Lord sent to me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. Skip down to verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and will not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I perform the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go, and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the kings of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. You may be seated. Dear Lord, I thank you for bringing us here safely tonight. Lord, I ask that you be with me as I speak tonight. I have some notes here that I prepared this afternoon to speak tonight, but if you want me to throw all that away, I will. Just give me whatever you want me to say tonight, Lord. I don't know. I have a feeling of what that might be, but if you want to change that, go right ahead. Just allow me to be able to hear your voice, Lord, tonight. I ask that you be with everyone here, open their hearts to whatever they need to hear, whether it be all of it or just part of it, Lord. I thank you for everything that you do in our lives. Thank you for the message this morning and the singing that we've had so far. In your name we pray. Amen. So the question I want to ask tonight is, does God control your life? And I mean, I guess it has to do a little bit with what was said this morning. It can kind of go hand in hand, which is just how the Lord works. But the question is, does God control your life? And as we saw in the story with Saul here, there was certain points there where Saul said, you know, I'm going to obey God and I'm going to do this. But then after a certain point, he said, no, I'm going to do it my own way now. Like if he would have obeyed God totally, he would have taken all these things and destroyed it all. But instead, he kind of did a little bit his own way, and he kept certain parts that he considered to be the best. He kind of took spoils of these people and kept them to themselves. And then when he was questioned about it, he said, we kept it to be an offering. That's what we kept it for. But in reality, that wasn't his initial intentions. He was kind of going on his own, making his own decision here, and wasn't fully obeying God. So the first point I want to make is God wants total obedience to him. He doesn't just want, partial obedience. And Saul only obeyed partially. He kind of obeyed to the tune of what he thought was right. The man this morning, when he was talking about going to Africa, what good would it have done? I doubt it would have worked as well as it did for him. As we heard his testimony, it worked. Everything was just perfect the way it all worked out. It wouldn't have worked out as well if he would have just said, yeah, God, I'll go to Africa. But I'm going to go when I feel I'm ready to go, or when I feel it's right to go, whenever I think I've got everything set up and it's the right time to go. You know, maybe he might have been able to go over there and he might have been able to get a blessing from it, but not as much as he did by going on the Lord's time, by totally obeying him the way that God wanted him to. So we got to watch. We don't just say, you know, I'll do it, but I'm going to not obey totally. I'm going to do it on my time. You got to obey totally, and let him. When we do that, he can use us the way that he wants us to be used. So, a story that I was reading about, and I hate to mention this, is because it's about the Cowboys football team, and I think it's almost a borderline sin to talk about the Cowboys up here, but Roger Staubach was a quarterback for them. And Tom Landry was the coach, and then they ended up winning a Super Bowl, I believe. But Tom Landry is one of the greatest, well-known, greatest football minds of coaches of all time. And Roger Staubach, you know, he kind of thought of himself as a good football mind as well. The story, he said that, you know, there's a couple times where there was certain plays that was called, the coach that Tom Landry called, and he kind of said, I don't know if that's the right play for this situation. I'm going to change that up here. We're going to run this. And then multiple times he did that, and it ended up, it never worked out the way that it should have, like he thought it would. That it ended up, if he would have ran what his coach called, that it would have worked out best. And this is the quote he said. He said, I faced up to the issue of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory. So what he learned was, when he obeyed his coach, who knew way more than what he knew, there was harmony, there was fulfillment in doing what he was told, and then there was victory. They won more games, they had more success as a team. And it's the same way with God. When we obey what our coach, which would be God, I guess, who knows way more than we know, when we obey him, there's harmony, fulfillment, and victory. Every time. Every time that we obey and listen to him, that's how it's going. But when we try to do it our own way, like the quarterback here in this story, it doesn't always. Sometimes we think it's going to be the best. Sometimes we think it'll work out better if we try our way. I would say almost 10 times out of 10, it's not as good as if we would have just listened to what God wanted us to do. Just like this situation, if you listen to what his coach told him to do, once he realized that he started doing that, things started going for better. Another story. There was some man of importance in the government in this story, and he knew the president at the time, which was Lyndon Johnson, I believe. And what happened was, you know, he was at his home, and he had a housekeeper that, and he told her, he said, I'm going to take a nap. I've had a rough day, not feeling good. I'm going to lay down, and I'm just going to take a sleep. And if anybody calls, just, you know, tell them I'm asleep. I don't want to receive any calls right now. Don't wake me up. And so what happens is the president calls while he's asleep, and the housekeeper says, the president calls, he says, I want to speak to him, and the housekeeper says, I'm sorry, sir, he's asleep, and he told me not, he doesn't want to talk to anybody right now. And the president's like, well, I'm the president, wake him up. And she's like, and this is what she said. She said, sorry, sir, I don't work for you, I work for him. And she said, and he said, he doesn't want to talk to anybody. And so, you know, he says, well, have him call me whenever he can. And so when he wakes up and he calls the president, he says, the president was actually really amazed of her dedication to work for him. He says, you know, I want her in the White House. You know, this is her dedication. And but if we look at that situation, that story there, and think about the same way we can relate that to God, you know, if there's something that God asks us to do, you know, and we're supposed to obey that, but then maybe Satan comes in and wants us to do this. Do we ever say, sorry, Satan, I work for God? Like she said here, sorry, Mr. President, I work for this man. Sometimes she could have easily said, oh, well, he's the president. You know, I should. She may have disobeyed what her master wanted her to do. How often do we, whenever we're obeying God, a situation where we're supposed to be obeying God, do we, if Satan comes around, kind of distracts us a little bit, do we see that and say, nope, I work for God. I work for the Lord. I don't work for you. This is an example of total obedience, not to them, but to who was in charge of her, who she worked for. And it's the same way for us. Are we going to have total obedience to God, or are we going to have partial obedience to God, partial obedience to ourselves, partial obedience to Satan, partial obedience to whatever's going on? or are we going to have total obedience to God? So that's just an example story there. So we're thinking about obedience here, and we can relate all this to Samuel or to Saul here, of where he a lot of his obedience throughout much of his life, he kind of started out obeying God, and then he kind of got proud of himself, and kind of he was partially obeyed God in a situation, then he kind of put his own two cents into it, and it rarely ever worked out. He had a lot of trouble just because he tried to rely on his own obedience to himself rather than just fully obeying God. And I was thinking about, if you have a coon dog, I guess. Luke, do you deal with coon dogs? If you have a coon dog, do you want it to chase coons whenever it wants to, or whenever you want it to? What good will it do to you if you take it out and it only does it whenever it feels like it? There's no use in it. So you want a dog that's gonna hunt whenever you need it to hunt. And it's the same with God. What good are we to Him if we're just gonna obey when we feel like we want to obey? Or are we going to obey when He wants us to obey, when He needs us to obey? So I guess even coon dogs can be used as examples for God. But the second point I want to make is God wants us to depend on Him. Sometimes whenever we say we'll obey, for example, the man this morning said when he would obey to go to Africa, he really had to depend on God to set that up for him, to make the way for him. He had to totally depend on God. He couldn't do it himself, which is the same way for many preachers. We have to depend on God to provide the message for us. We can't do anything on our own. We have to have God provide the message for us. And so that's very important. But Saul, a lot of times, God wants us to depend on Him fully. But a lot of times Saul, he would depend on the Lord for certain times that he thought he needed Him. And then he would depend on himself because he thought he was a lot greater than what he actually was. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not on thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." And it's the first part of it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Don't just trust Him part of the time, and then trust yourself, or trust that your boss can help you, or your family can help you, or your preacher can help you. You have to trust in God that He'll help you with whatever you need. Trust in Him fully. And then the last part it says, "And He shall direct thy paths." So as long as you trust in Him, He will direct your paths. He will take care of whatever you need. And then, so for me, an example in my life was choosing, when I had to choose college, I was trying to decide, I couldn't rely on what was best for me. I couldn't rely on what I thought was best. I just had to leave it up to God because He knew what was best. I had to trust in the Lord with all my heart, not just part of my heart, and say, I want to, Lord, You can, help me get the money, but I'm going to choose where I want to go. Now, I said, help me get the money and help me decide where to go and help me decide my major. Help me decide everything. Trust in Him in every way, not just certain things. I'm sorry. I know I talk fast. I know Mom was talking to me last night, and I was asking her how long I was up there last night. I was a little nervous second time being in a different church, and I just didn't know how long I was up there. I didn't know if I was speaking too fast, and she said, "Well, you do talk fast," and I was like, "Well, I can't help it. That's just how I am. I talk fast." So I've got a lot of notes here, but I can read through these within just a few seconds. So, but many times Saul had problems in his life because he depended on his own abilities, his own understanding, rather than depending on what God could do for him. A lot of times Saul focused on, he had a lot of strengths. He was pretty good in battle. He was a courageous guy. But then he had a lot of weaknesses as well. And a lot of times he focused on those weaknesses, and his weaknesses was his downfall a lot of times. But we all have weaknesses. But the difference between Saul and us is if we give our weaknesses to God, He can use those as strengths. But Saul, he kept he focused on his weaknesses and didn't allow God to help him with those weaknesses. He just tried to work on himself, and we can't. We can't fix our own weaknesses ourselves. God has to help us with that. For me, I don't think I'm the greatest. Whenever God was calling me to preach, I didn't think it was a strength of mine to get up and speak in front of people. I could talk fast. I get a little nervous and sweat a little bit, and I don't think that's my strength. But I thought that was a weakness for me. But God takes your weaknesses and makes them strengths. That's how he works. That was the problem for Saul. You know, he didn't always let God use his weaknesses. He tried to hide his weaknesses. Whenever he had to go to situations where his weaknesses would be a problem, he wanted to avoid those. He didn't want to rely on God to help him get through those weaknesses. He wanted to avoid any situation that caused him for those weaknesses to show, instead of just letting God take control. For example, Moses, we're studying Exodus right now in our Bible study on Tuesdays, and we've noticed that Moses at first also said that his weaknesses was speaking. When God asked him to go speak to the Egyptians, go speak to Pharaoh, he said, you know, speaking, that's my weakness. I can't do that. I can't talk. And so then God says, well, I'll provide Aaron to go with you, and he'll help you out. But Moses said, okay, I'll do it. He trusted in God to help him with that. And then once he ended up, we found most of the times that he's talking to Pharaoh, he's the one doing all the talking himself. I mean, Aaron was really just there for support, I guess, because Moses ended up doing most of the talking to Pharaoh himself. I mean, that's what we found out so far in our Bible study. And so in a way, speaking he thought was his weakness, but he trusted in God to help him with that in those situations. When he actually went to Pharaoh, he trusted that God would help him, and God came through. He was able to speak to Pharaoh everything he needed to speak, and he had to trust in God that whatever he spoke, God would follow through with that for him. And a lot of times, like when he would speak about these plagues that would be coming through, when he would say, this plague's going to come if you don't let God's people go, he trusted that God would actually follow through with that. He trusted that what God told him to say would come true. And God never failed him. Every time that he gave Moses something to say, God came through and did exactly what he told him to say. And that's just, the more that we do that, the more that we rely on God, to more that we obey him and do what he tells us to do, and the more that we see him follow through, the more trust that we gain, the more trust that we gain in what he's doing for us, and the more apt we are to obey him in the future. Every time we obey and he follows through, it's like, well, that wasn't too hard. And then the next time he wants us to do something, we're like, well, the last time he wanted me to do that wasn't too hard, so maybe I'll try it again. Every time he comes through, and it gets easier and easier, the more we obey him. And my third point is I want to make my final point here. It's just to takes a relationship with God for him to have control. So the first question was, does God have control in your life? And so you say, well, how can he have control in my life? It takes a relationship with him. So how can I give him control? Constant communication, just asking him what he wants from me. If I want him to have control of my life, well, I need to know what he wants me to do. I need to talk to him about that. What do you want me to do? Or, you know, what I need to do this, that, whatever it is, I'm ready to do that, which is what the man this morning said. He said that he was just said, whatever you want me to do, Lord, just, you know, he was very emotional about it, and he was saying that he just finally said, just tell me what it is. And he told him to go, he said, Africa. That's what he was saying. And he said, all right, that's what I'll do. I need you to help me. And so we have to communicate with him back and forth. He said that in that board meeting this morning, he was talking about the board meeting, and he was saying that he was kind of speaking to him. He had the presence of the Spirit was just on him throughout that board meeting. And that's the constant communication that we need to have. The constant communication with God, you know, what he wants from us. That's how we know that he has control, whenever we're talking to him and understanding what he wants from us. And Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And what that means is, you say praying always, you know, I can't close my eyes and pray all the time. That's just what that's saying there is just constantly talking to God throughout your day. Whatever you're going through, I know it's, you know, it's just something that I do that, you know, God laid upon my heart one day, and I've done it a lot of days since. Just certainly some days God will just put it on my heart. If I'm driving to school or coming home from school, I'll just, every car that I pass or passes me, sometimes I'll just get in that I guess, mindset on the way there, that I just pray for each person who's in a car that'll drive by. I'll try to pray for that person, because, you know, that's just the constant communication that I'm talking about with God, is that, you know, I never would have thought to do that, but for some reason one morning, God just put that on my heart, that every car that passed by, you know, just pray for their day. Pray that they have a good day today. Pray that that they realize how good God is. Maybe they'll see something in somebody's life that they'll, maybe if they don't know God, that they'll see God today. And but that's because I have an open mind, and listening to God in the mornings, listening to Christian music, he can speak to me. And when he does, you know, then I can hear, whenever I'm ready for that, when I'm in that mindset, I can hear him. And like I said, I heard him that morning, and, you know, a lot of mornings I'll do that now, because You know, just hearing him speak to me, telling me to do that, it's just the constant communication that I'm talking about. Just always having a mindset, being open, just trying to hear God throughout the day, whether you're driving to work, or whether you're on lunch, whether you're at work, working or not working, whether you're at work, whatever it is, you know, always try to be listening for what God might have you to do. And then in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, we can be confident that if we ask anything according to His will, that He hears us. That's what it says. We can be confident that if we ask anything according to His will, that He hears us. So you might be thinking, you know, I understand this. I should be talking to God throughout the day, different things. But how can I know that He's hearing me when I'm talking to Him? It says right there, we can be confident if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So we know for sure that if we're talking to Him, He hears us every time. And, you know, it's just as simple as that. That we know that if I'm just talking on the way to work, I know He hears me. If I'm in the middle of a test, I know He hears me. If I'm on the way home and it's dark and I see deer everywhere and I'm praying for safety, He hears me. Whatever it is, whatever we're going through, I can be confident. It says I can be confident that He hears me. I know that He hears me no matter what it is. And then an example that I used last night, about I read on the internet, and it was about this man and his dog, and the little chihuahua named Samson. You imagine that? A little 4-pound chihuahua with a big name of Samson. But he said that his wife had went to go visit her parents. They were sick or something was going on. She needed to go visit them, and he was staying at home, you know, taking care of the house and the dog, obviously. And he said that dog just spent all its time laying upstairs in the master bedroom where the little doggy blankets were and stuff on her side of the bed, and because the little dog missed her. And the dog didn't want anything to do with him all day long, and he said he laid down to take a nap. He was feeling a little bit sick, and so he laid down and he fell into a pretty good sleep. He was a pretty deep sleep, and he said he all of a sudden feels this thud into his lap, and he's like, this kind of scares me. He wakes up, you know, not knowing what that might be, and then he realizes it's that little 4-pound dog had jumped up on his lap. And at first he's like, well, what does it want? And then he realizes that he needs to go outside and use the bathroom. So he's like, well, how dare he just wake me up for my nap after he didn't want anything to do with me all day long. He didn't want nothing to do with me, but now he wants to come up and get me to wake up in my nap and take him outside because he needs me. And, you know, how dare he do that to me? And he what he said it was when I was reading that story, he said after that, he said that he thought after he thought about that, he thought, well, why? You know, a lot of times we're the same way with God. You know, sometimes we're not including God in our lives. We don't want anything to do with Him in certain situations. And then whenever we need Him, we go jump in His lap and we need help. And he was saying that, you know, we gotta be, you know, cautious of that we don't do that, that we're communicating with Him all the time, not just whenever we need Him, but all the time, whether, you know, but like in that situation, that dog, you know, he was missing, you know, the mom. He didn't want anything to do with the dad, all day long until we needed Him. So we got to be careful about that. You know, that we're talking to God not only just, you know, when we need Him for a situation, not only when we need Him for safety or when we need Him to heal somebody, but just all throughout the day, just constant communication, building that relationship with Him so that He can have control in our lives, so that He's taking control, and whenever He takes control, we can be assured that everything's going to go okay. Like in the story with the football coach, like God knows everything. In that situation of football, Tom Landry a lot of football people might think that he knew everything there was to know about football. And the quarterback, once he understood that and he listened to that, everything went okay. They had a lot of success. They won a lot of victories. And the same way with God. Once we understand, once we realize that he knows everything and we just submit to Him, then everything's going to go okay. We'll have a lot of victories. And so that's just the same as the quarterback and the coach. And last point I want to make here, 1 Samuel chapter 31. If we go to the end of this book here, in verse, is this kind of talking about, you know, Saul's on the battlefield. This is his kind of the final moment of Saul here. And we've already, you know, we've kind of skipped through certain parts here with, you know, him being mad at David and trying to kill David. And Saul's in a pretty bad state of mind right now in his life. He's in a, for the past months, I would say, I don't know, maybe years, I would say as well. didn't go through and look at all the dates or anything, but for a while I would say he's in a bad state of mind. Because he no longer included God as the one that's in charge of his life. God was no longer in control of his life. He was no longer putting God in control of his life. And so, you know, he's going through a lot of trouble. He's mad. He's upset with David, trying to kill David. He's losing all the. He's not having favor in the sight of people anymore. And in this story here, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. And then said Saul unto his armor bearer, Draw thy sword, and trust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men that came that same day together." So, you know, in this situation, it kind of shows, you know, just how in a bad state that Saul was in this situation. He was on the battlefield. I would think that most likely if he would have been including God in his life at the head of his life, the battle probably would have went a lot better than what it did in this situation. And you can show how just lost he is, because whenever he is hit, you know, I don't know all of the details of it, but he says he wants to basically kill himself. He says, you know, take the sword and just kill me. And he ends up falling on the sword himself. He ends up killing himself. So in a way, I guess, you know, committing suicide in a way. And that just shows the state of mind he was in. He was not happy with anything that was going on in his life at all. He was in a rough place because multiple times that God asked him to do something, and he started relying on his own ways, got him into trouble, and it was just kind of a slow fall until he just got so far away that he was no longer putting God in control of anything that he was doing. And it started out that God had anointed him as king. And if we go back to chapter 15 there, let me turn back. It says that, then came the in verse 10, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried to the Lord all night." So what it's saying, it says, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king." It's not saying that God made a mistake here. What he's saying is he's upset of how Saul has changed his ways. That's basically what he's saying here. He's not saying that, "Oh, I made a mistake for making Saul king." What he's saying here is Saul has made a mistake, and he's upset about it. That, you know, Saul started out all right, but now Saul is no longer, it says he's turned back from following me. He's no longer putting God in total control of his life. He's no longer following God with total obedience. He's only partially obeying certain things. Like in the story, he was supposed to destroy everything from what they conquered, and he didn't. He didn't obey him totally. He only destroyed part of what he was supposed to destroy. And then he even made excuses saying, "Oh, well, we didn't destroy all of it because we're going to use it for sacrifice." And the Lord says, God says, or Samuel said there at the end, in verse 22, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." So what he's saying, that the most important part is that if Saul would have just obeyed, not looking back at what he thinks, trying to make excuses, "Well, God said to do this in the past," you know, what God said to do was go do this. Don't try to put your own spin on it. Don't try to put, you know, that God said this in the past, we should use this for sacrifices. And what he said in this moment was to go and destroy everything. And you're supposed to obey that. And so Samuel's telling him here, don't put your own spin on what you think you're supposed to do. Obey exactly what God wants you to do. And once we do that, like the man this morning, when he spoke, he said he obeyed exactly what God wanted him to do and going to Africa, and he let him take control. And you saw all the blessings he's received so far. It's just worked out. I was blessed by that testimony. And just by looking at that, I could see that simply by obeying God and exactly what he wants, obeying him totally, how that works out, just works out beautifully. And the amount of lives that he touched just because he said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do that. I'll do exactly what you want me to do. Whenever you want me to do it, you know, how, when, where, what, why, is that the five? Who, what, when, where, why, how? I don't know. Anyways, do them all whenever you're looking at how to obey God." And that's exactly what the man this morning said, that, you know, he just said, "Lord, you take control," and God did. And once he gave him control of his life, God took it, and he followed, and great things have happened over there, and I'm sure here, all the testimonies he's been able to give, it's caused great things to happen here as well. And then one last story I want to leave you with is, there's an elderly man that came into this story. He's hard of hearing and needed a hearing aid, and he's looking for, you know, all kind of different hearing aids in here, and he's like, "Well, explain to me which ones you have. You know, tell me how your selection is here." And he says, and the lady says, "Well, we have one that's $25,000, and we have one that's $1.50. And he says, "That's the range. You have all kind in between." And he's like, "Well, what's the one with $25,000 do?" And she says, "Well, it can interpret three languages for you." And he's like, "All right, well, what does the $1.50 one do?" And she says, "Well, it's got this little button here, and you put it in your ear, and it just has a string on the end of it." And he says, "Well, how does it work?" And she says, "It doesn't work, but when you put it on and you have the string in your pocket, people talk louder. And you'd be surprised how much louder they talk." And so if we look at that story there, we think about that, you know, sometimes we might think that we have trouble hearing God. Sometimes we might think we have trouble when we're talking to God, that, you know, we know, like it says in 1 John 5:14, that we can be confident that if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. Sometimes we know that he hears us, but we have trouble hearing him back. And I think in this situation, like, I think if we talked to God and told him, and you know, and of course he understands way before we even talk to him. But if we, you know, if we talk to him, pray to him, you know, just communicate with him all the time, saying, you know, "God, I'm just having a little bit of trouble hearing you. I feel as if he hears that, and he'll give you a more obvious sign or whatever you need to hear him better. I think he'll provide you with that." And like in the story with the hearing aids, you know, that just by wearing that, people will talk louder. If we just simply ask God to talk louder, I think he'll talk louder. I think he will talk louder to you. Whatever you need to hear him, I think he'll provide that for you. So you know, that the overall question was, does God control your life? And, you know, whether it takes just total obedience, it takes us depending on him once we obey, and then it just takes a relationship with him all the time, communicating with him, to know that he is in control, to know that we're letting him take control of whatever it is, that we know that we're doing what he's asking us to do, whatever that is. We have to be communicating back and forth to understand what that is in all situations, whether it be just, "What do you want me to do at work today?" or "What do you want me to do this evening?" "What do you want me to do on Sunday morning at church?" Whatever it is, just constant communication, so that way we can be listening to what he would have us to do. So as they get a song, you know, that focusing on the relationship part of it, you know, sometimes it's not always easy. For a lot of people, that's the hardest part of Christianity, is the relationship, which is why it's important to have kids in church when they're young and explain that relationship to them when they're young, because they don't know anything different. And in that way, they understand that throughout but whenever you spend 20, 30 years of your life without Christianity, and then you try to get a grasp on that relationship, it's not as easy. It's tough to understand, how can I have a relationship with God? It's, you know, I can't see him, I can't always, you know, I don't actually physically hear his voice, you know, how can I have that relationship? And it's tough sometimes. You know, but that's why I would encourage, you know, if your parents here, if you have, you know, kids, try to bring them when they're young. And I've noticed, you know, I was saying last night that I had parents that always, you know, kept, that they were a good example to me of how to have a relationship with God through a young age. You know, just different situations in your life, that whenever you ask for something and God provides, that they would always say, "Hey, God provided that for you. That God provided that for us. We prayed for that. He came through for us." Don't just say, "Hey, pray for this," or "Hey, trust in God that he'll provide you this," and then when he does, just, you know, move on. Because as a kid, you know, when I got a scholarship that we were needing, that we prayed for, and I got that, I wasn't thinking about that. I wasn't thinking, you know, whenever I realized how much it was and that was what we needed, I didn't put that together. I didn't think, "Oh, well, that's exactly what we needed." But Mom put it together, and she said, "That's exactly what we've been praying for." And when she showed that to me, that's when I, you know, as a kid, I wasn't focusing on that. But the more that you as parents show your kids that, or even just spouses that, the more you practice that and show that to each other, the more that you see it in multiple things in your life, how God's coming through. So that just kind of builds the relationship. And then the obedience, you know, maybe you're here tonight and maybe you haven't been obeying what he has you to do. And after the message this morning and then tonight, you say, I'm ready. I'm ready to finally obey what God has been having me to do, and I'm ready to just submit. You know, the altar's open for you to just finally come submit to that tonight. Maybe you've been obeying a little bit like Saul. You obeyed partially but didn't give it all. You know, that's okay. But God can't use you the way he wants you to, that he wants to use you, unless you fully obey, fully submit to him, total obedience, rather than just partial obedience like Saul. So if you would stand as they begin to sing, whatever you need tonight, the altar is open. If you want to submit and obey, or if you just want to say, you know, I've been obeying and I just want more, I just want more help. I just want to continue to obey. Or maybe you say, I haven't been hearing you, Lord, like the hearing aid story. If you want to hear God louder, or maybe you haven't had to obey in a while, and you just say, I'm ready. Whatever it is, I just want to hear it. The altar is open for you to just talk to God tonight. Whatever you need, the altar is open as they sing.
279.
That's just how I am, I guess. But I was thinking, I was at Austin's church last night, and you know, it was a good service, and you know, it was a more confined sanctuary than what we have. And I don't know, I just realized how comfortable I've gotten having this sanctuary that we have, how comfortable that I've gotten here. And we should really realize how blessed we are that we have the sanctuary that we have. But don't ever get too comfortable. We got to be careful. Don't ever get too comfortable, because God, he may ask you to go to Africa. I mean, you never know. Just never get too comfortable. I'll leave you with that. Any announcements this evening?
I think Trent's actually a full-fledged preacher now. Here's how I know. I was sitting there and he said, okay, and this is my third and final point. And then he said, okay, I got one more. And then after the fifth one, I think he finally asked us to come up here. So I think you're finally there.
do what we can and leave the rest up to God. That's all, the only thing we can do. Any other announcements or requests?
I'm just glad it's a person like Paul that's in that position to testify. Because I can believe anything Paul told me. That's more I'd say for the majority of the people that I know.
Right. I guess that's true. So Monday nights, the women's Bible study, is that correct? And what time?
7
at?
Debbie and Jessica are teaching that class.
Where at? Clendenin's. Okay. And then Tuesday Bible study here at 6:30. Wednesday night service, obviously. Basketball here at Thursdays at 7. You guys going to play basketball? Come on out. I'll be opening it up. And then I guess Fridays and Saturdays you have off. So then back on Sunday. Any other announcements? I'm going to ask Brandon if he would to dismiss us in prayer.